All right. Let's talk about running your race. Running your race. These are familiar scriptures that I want to use to encourage us as a body today to run our race. 100 years ago, you would not be saying all the catastrophe on the southern border of the United States. Wouldn't be 24/7. You wouldn't be following the hurricane. You'd probably be pumping the water from the well and getting the firewood. And maybe if somebody had a newspaper, you would read it 2 or 3 days, maybe a week, maybe a month after it had happened. But we are inundated with media all the time, sometimes good, sometimes bad. But did you know that 100 years ago, God was still God? Just like he is today. And though the roof is on fire, that's the northern part of the United States, it's on fire. And the basement is flooding. That's the southern part of the United States. It's flooding. God is still who he says he is. And we don't get away from running our race. Do you know that you have a race to run? Hello?
Yes.
Okay. Just checking. I was taking some groceries out the car yesterday, and my neighbor was walking the dog. And I said, hi, and she said, hi. And she said, I see you walking. Stop it. I see you walking. And I said, thank you. And I realized that Poppy don't run no more. So I'm going to walk my race, but I'm going to still stay in the race. I'm not running anymore unless there is a bear that is near. And I know there are two schools of thought. When you see a bear, you're supposed to stand still. I don't think I'm doing that. Or you're supposed to roar. I don't think I'm doing that either. What I think I'm going to do if I happen to see a bear, and God, I'm not calling this into existence, I'm going to tell him or her or the cubs, or if they're a flock of bears, I don't know what they are. I'm going to say, listen, if you come eat me, you're going to get high blood pressure and diabetes. You better go on and do what you need to do. Y'all understand what I'm saying? And then if that don't work, I'm going to run. Because Poppy can run, he just don't run. So my neighbor said, I see you walking. Well, that's kind of important for me because I've started walking because I can. Y'all didn't get that, did you? If you ever been to the doctor and the doctor asks you the questions and stuff, and he gets to the point, my doctor gets to the point where he says, Mr. Smith, are you exercising? And I'm in the examining room doing this. Mr. Smith, are you exercising? You don't want me to lie to you, do you? Go to the next question, okay? Do I look like I'm exercising? You're a doctor, this should be obvious. We shouldn't even ask this question, are you? So I decided last time I went that when I go next week, I'll be able to tell him that, yes, I am. I am walking. It's not doing much good, but I'm actually doing it. Do you know that you have a race to run? So I go to the doctor and I want him to give me good news, but if I'm not running or walking my race, why am I expecting any good news? So this is full disclosure. this teaching, this preaching is going to ask you to do more than you've done before. Because I believe that many hands makes the load light. It would seem that in this body, we're just having an explosion of children. They won't get no puppies, but they'll have babies. So these babies have to be ministered to, and these young families have to be ministered to, and we really don't have ministry to them. So that means that we need to push ourselves into the place where we can accommodate where God is blessing us. Accommodate where God is blessing you? Well, yeah, yeah. Because I always believe that in this house there's enough to meet every need. Now, I say that, but I'm a grandpa. I don't want to get on the floor and play with anybody. Because at this age and at this weight, when you get down, you got to figure out how you're going to... Oh, I'm not alone, am I? You got to figure out how you're going to get up, what you're going to grab onto, how far you're going to roll, and what you're going to push. Just to get up. Coochie coo, ha ha ha. Come back here and call 911. Because Poppy can't get up. Yeah, while you're down there. Go get me a glass of water or something. I can't breathe. It's rough down here. So I'm going to push and ask that we as a body begin to minister more in these areas. But it's kind of funny. Look around. That means turn your head. There you go. Today in here is not a lot of people to push and to ask to do more or use your gift. Use what God has given. The perplexing thing is we don't know what everybody is capable of doing or what ministry lies in them. So I need to talk to you about running your race because you know how far and where you're going to run and how much you're going to run. The reason why I walk is because that's all I can do right now. Hello? Ain't no more sprinting. And ain't no more going all the way up to the light, which is a mile. I know this. I've done it for. And ain't no more going across the street on the other side of Orange, passing Robin and Lewis's house, because that's 2 miles. Y'all understand? I've calculated. Because as far as you go, that's as far as you have to come back. Y'all help me with this new math. Y'all understand? You know, when you get older, you have to figure that stuff out. Okay. So I go around, and if I go around twice, that's almost a mile. But I'm not going around a third time right now. And it's not going to be any running. So I'm going to walk my race. Ecclesiastes, the 11th chapter, I'm going to read to you because we're going to settle in John, the 4th chapter. If you read your Bible, that's kind of just fasten your seatbelts. Okay, Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter and the 11th verse says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not given to the swift, neither is it given to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor your riches to men of understanding, nor your favor to men of skill, but time and chance happens to them all. Then if you go to 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter and the 24th verse, it says this, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize, so run that you might obtain it. Then lastly, Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we also are encompassed about with a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Everyone has a race. You can run it, you can walk it, you can sit and watch everybody else go, but you have a race to run. Now, there are various types of races. There's long distance, there's short distance, there's sprints, and there are marathons. And what's that one where you pass the baton? There's a relay. I want to call our Christian journey a relay race, where we're dependent on each other to pass the baton. Now I'm looking around and I see maybe two or three of you all I want to relay race with. Because the rest of you are just like me. You be walking or watching. And in a relay race, you depend on the person who's in front of you and who's behind you. You're going to run your little lap or run your little part, but you're dependent on that person after you pass that baton. I don't know about you, and you might not believe this, but 100 years ago, I could run. I had to learn how to run. I never was an athlete, but I could run. Tell you why I can run. I had to run. I lived in Chicago. I grew up in the gang era. I had a little old lady who was about, well, she wasn't old then, but she was little, about 5 feet tall. And she pointed up to me and said, in my house, there's no gang members. So I couldn't join the gang because I was afraid of my mother. Y'all don't get it. I was afraid, not what they were going to do to me, how they were going to whoop me, how they were going to beat me, how I might lose my life, but in my house, there was this 5 foot tall who said, you're not going to join the gang. And let me take you into my life just a little bit. I know this might scare some of you also, hold hands if you need to. In my house, there was a place, a conference room called the kitchen table. And y'all old folks know the kitchen table? Just nod your head like this. You don't even have to raise your hand. The kitchen table. Well, all business was taken care of. You would sit at the kitchen table and your parents would tell you exactly how it's going to be. Not the choice that you're going to have, the rights that you have or anything. This is how it's going to be. Well, you're not going to join the gang. Well, I figured out she knew what she was talking about, but I had to go outside with the folks who were in the gang that said that you were going to join the gang. When you going to join the gang? Cause, you know. And then one day, they were crowded around me because I went to the library, and I did some work, and I had my little case. We had briefcases back then. We didn't have those backpacks and stuff. Studious little dude, and you know, this day they were gonna make me join the gang, so they were around me and stuff. And all of a sudden, something came through the ocean of people who were around me. And she said some words that you can't say in church, therefore, I didn't join the gang, but in the interim. I had to go to school, go outside, go play all the time and stuff. So they were still there. So I learned how to get through the alleys. Anybody know what an alley is? Y'all don't know nothing. Huh? You got an alley? Well, in some parts of this country, they have streets. And behind the streets, they have alleys. And then they have the other street. So in the middle of the streets are the alleys. So if you don't want to get whooped on the streets, guess what you have to do? Hit the alley. I could get from point A to point B, knew where the dogs were, knew where the fences were, knew how high the fences were, knew where the gangways were. Y'all don't know about gangways. That's between two buildings. And stuff. Strategy. You got to run your race. And sometimes I wasn't lucky enough. And got a little beat down and stuff, but I, as you can see, I lived to see another day. But I know how to run. It don't look like it, but I can get up and go. I know how to run. I wonder, do you know how to run your race? I wonder, do you know how to take a breath? I know, do you know which yard not to go in? Because you don't ask, does that dog bite? Because he got teeth. He's waiting for a meal. Okay? Do you know how to go under a building because it has a gangway and come up on the other side? Y'all looking at me like, please, Floyd, are they after you now? You're kind of scaring me. This is life in the city. Let me get a little closer to you. Has anybody ever been evacuated because of a catastrophe? You good people don't look like it because you live in Los Alamos and everything is good in Oz. Yeah, everything is wonderful in Oz. Nothing like that would happen to you. You looked up or actually, I've been evacuated too. Right after church, because that was the first evacuation. Right after church, he's clapping our hands, thank you, Jesus, and you get a call on the phone that says, leave now. Huh? You got to call somebody else and say, did you get a call? Yes, leave now. And then you have to look at all of the stuff that you have. I didn't say crap, I said stuff. Okay, because I want y'all writing no letters. And all the stuff that you have, and you have to figure out what's going to go in what car. And what you gonna leave? And you have to look at it and say, adios. Because if you turn this way, you see the flames. Anybody ever seen flames on the mountains and smell the smoke and had to get out? And so you had to run your race. Some people decided to stay and stuff, and you know that's good. But you know what? I know this, you can get some more stuff, but if you catch a fire, that's kind of fine. Understand what I'm saying? So you understand how people might feel today on the top half of the country and on the bottom half of the country that they had to run? And I don't know about you, but because I was in church and I prayed and I said, God, make the smoke go the other way, put out the fire, send the rain. But the call said, you got to go. You got to go. And you know what? A few years from then, I'm standing here now and it's actually okay. Because he's the God of everything. Even in disaster, he's the God. And when disaster comes, he calls us to run our race, to use everything that we have. So the media, I love the media. And this is why I love the media. They're good and they're bad. And I still watch. Because I want to know. I want to know to the point that I can't know no more. Okay, I'm done. Because the hurricane is coming. You're telling me every 5 minutes that it's coming. You keep on showing me the same picture. It reminds me of something. You know the first fire that we had and we all left and all the news outlets showed the same picture. Y'all remember that same picture? It's on fire. Everything's gone. We don't know. It's on fire every 5 minutes. It's on fire. You know what that kind of does to your mind? Kind of messes you up because it's on fire. Everything's gone. Well, 10 days later, we came back up and everything was there. And actually, the flowers were blooming. God is still God. That didn't happen to everybody because some houses burned down. There's still some vacant lots here. But God is still who he says he is, and we ran our race. Now, the thing that's interesting about that is, for me, where I landed up, when that happened. They said, leave. And we went to White Rock, and then they told White Rock, you got to leave too. Where are we going? Well, my daughter was engaged to some Tafoyas who live in Española. And they said, come stay with us. I really didn't know what that meant. They had an extra house. And I winded up in the house, and you all were looking for me. And I was sitting in the house. Okay, smelling the smoke and seeing the fire. But God, how'd this happen? You're still good. You're still in charge. You still provide for all, even in the midst of catastrophe. You still are who you say you are. And you use your people. Is that okay if I say that in church? You use your people. Didn't know why these people said, come stay with us. I don't know you people, but you know what? My house is on fire, so I guess I'll get to know you and stuff. God still uses you. So when I say I'm going to push you and ask you to do something different, that's because God still uses you. Why do I teach Sunday school to little kids? Because they teach me so much. Y'all don't understand. I go in there with a lesson, and they just blow my mind with their perception of the world and the questions that they ask. And that they would even stay still for 45 minutes with me. They don't have a choice, but they would even do that and then come back the next Sunday. Now listen, I can't do this all my life. Because I can't run. You know, your little kid go down the hallway, I got to wave to him, say goodbye. Call me when you get there. Send me a text, something, because Poppy can't run. He'll walk fast, but he can't run. But the thing that I want to tell you is that in ministry and in what we give back to God, he continually gives to us. Do you understand? Do this if you, I just need to make sure that you know. I'll give you an example, if I may. There was a young man who stood here and led communion today. I used to hold him in my arms. Can't do that now. All I can do is teach his son bad habits. That's why I believe God will still use us if we run our race. But you got to run or walk. You got to do it. He's not coming down to say, okay, well, let me teach Sunday school for Floyd. No. And it's not for Floyd anyway. It's for the next generation. I experienced something today that I wasn't ready for. I was in fellowship hall and Sunday school was starting. Some young ladies had a birthday, and they know when they reach a certain age, they can't hang out with me, and they hung out with Pastor Stephen for Sunday school, and I was kind of not happy. Poacher. One of the things we ought to recognize that there are seasons for everything. Seasons come and go, and we facilitate that seasons by suckers. But I know that they're going to be taught well, and they're going to have good examples, and they're going to be grow up to be godly men and women because of that. Because I've seen it, and I've seen it in this house, and I want to participate in that. Jesus had a problem. His problem was that he did not focus on the people that the disciples thought he should focus on. We'll find that in John, the fourth chapter. Go with me to John, the fourth chapter. And we'll be out of here in a few minutes. You Samaritans. That's not a compliment. But Jesus said this, I need to go to Samaria. I need to go through the Hamas to get to Santa Fe. I need to go. I want to go. I'm actually going. Two things wrong with that. Jesus, that's not the quickest way because we're going to Jerusalem. And Jesus, do you know who the Samaritans are? Jesus, come here, let me school you. This is not a parable. We don't like the Samaritans. They're our cousins, they're distant cousins. You can't leave your purse down when you're around a Samaritan. Samaritans stink. Samaritans are ugly. Samaritans. Jesus, why? If you go and if you touch one of them, you're going to be unclean. What are we going to do then? We got to wait 7 days? Jesus, why do you need to go to Samaria? See the Samaritans. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to some Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. He needed to go to Samaria. Samaritans weren't people that Jews, real Jews, really associated with. They were related to them. They really didn't associate. In fact, the Samaritans had a mimic of what they were doing in Jerusalem. The Jewish people worship on this mountain and they look to Jerusalem. But the Samaritans look to this mountain. It's kind of like a mirror thing. And they just didn't get along. But Jesus said, you know, I need to do. Now, I'm going to fast forward. He went. He had a little conversation with this lady at the well and stuff. And she explained to him, you know, are you mixed up? You even shouldn't be here. And you're asking me for water. You ain't got no cup. It's hot out here. All these people are looking at us. Your people are looking at us. My people are looking at us. What's going on? Then Jesus tells her, if you knew who I was, you would ask for living water from me. And she gave him that look, you know, shook that head. Looking at you, you don't look like much. But after they had this conversation, and he straightened her out, in John 4:24 says, God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. The whole conversation turned around. And he was talking about living water, and she said, give me this water. And eyes were open, and he said, you're looking for the Messiah? He's right here. He's right here. He's right here. Excuse me. And Jesus got kind of personal with her. He asked her a question. He says, where's your husband? It's hot out here. You want water. We've already had this discussion. You don't have a cup. And you're going to get in my business? Jesus, we about to throw down at the well. But she answered him. She said, look here. I ain't got none. And he said, you said, well, you've had six. And the dude you're shacking up with, he ain't your husband. She looked at him and said, "You must be a prophet, because that's not on Facebook." Y'all know they had Facebook back then, right? "That's not on Facebook. I didn't Instagram that. You must be the Son of God." Now remember, Jesus said, "I need to go there." All this stuff happens and stuff. And then she goes, and she goes to the wrong place. She goes to the men in the village. She's not supposed to be messing with the men because she's shacking up with somebody else, got a bad reputation. She's at the well in the middle of the day when it's hot, trying to get water and stuff. But she tells the men that she met a prophet, the Messiah. And they come, and they talk to Jesus, and they start to yakking and stuff, and they say, "Jesus, can you stay here a few days? I find all this interesting. I find all this perplexing, because none of it makes sense. Jesus just said, I needed to go to Samaria." He had to run his race, which took him through Samaria, a place that nobody thought was worth going to for the Son of God and the mission that he had. And these people who were in Samaria, they weren't real Jews, but he went there. And for 3 days, he stood there with them, and he preached, and he talked, and those people would turn around, and they accepted him because he ran his race and it took him through Samaria. How many of y'all live in Los Alamos? Can you imagine? Yeah, just checking. Some of y'all live in your head, okay? Just checking. Do you know that everything that is happening in the big cities and urban sites today happens in Los Alamos? Hello? Anybody here? Little gangs. They just trip me out when they dress in Crip and Blood like that. I'm like, slap you upside your head. Dope. Crack. Heroin. Teenage pregnancies. Robberies. Home break-ins, things like that. People who are recovering from things like that. And so, it's like a catastrophe that sometimes we don't see. And do you know that that's the kind of people that Jesus was after? The captive, the brokenhearted, those who were in prison, those who needed deliverance and stuff. What if, because we've been here a while, don't say it out loud. We start going for those people. Would that be okay if we ran that race? I know, I'm thinking too. That'd kind of be uncomfortable, wouldn't it? That'd kind of be challenging. That'd kind of be what Jesus did. I need to go to Samaria. Anybody got anything to say? Yeah, Jesus, you shouldn't be going to Samaria. They're going to be talking. It's going to be all over Facebook. It's going to be this. It's going to be that. Our reputation is going to be ruined. We're trying to get to Jerusalem. Look at the time. Look at the time, Jesus. Would it be okay if we did that? What if people came here and got delivered, got saved, got help? Do you think we could minister to them? This is a big boy question. I'm sorry. Y'all want to just say a benediction and go home? Would it be okay because they're here. Some of them are ours. We know some of them. It's a big challenge, but it's what Jesus did. It's how we run our race, or how we walk our race. I'm going to make it real personal. A couple of weeks ago on Orange Street, there was a bus. I'm laughing because I live on Orange Street. And I didn't read that there was a bus until the bus was over. And that's part of my route that I walk. And I'm saying, God, why am I walking and there's some dope being dealt on the cul-de-sac? Can you say cul-de-sac? Because it's a wonderful thing. It's the round thing, the little neighborhood. Everybody knows who you are. It's like Cheers. Everybody knows who you are, and it's a cul-de-sac. There's a bus. I read it in the paper. I've been walking by this house, and they've been doing the deed up in there. I should have stayed in Chicago and just run from gangs. I come here, and there's dope on my block. What do I do? I think I'm going to still walk. And just in case they get out and they get back and they see me and they say, hey, Pastor, how you doing? I'm going to say, well, how you doing? Because you're about famous now. Okay? All right. What's going on? Maybe I'll spend a little time there. I don't know if they take pictures or whatever the deal is, but maybe I'll do it. Maybe that's part of me running my race. Maybe in church, I'm going to do more than I used to do. I'm going to let them know what my gift is. I'm going to be bothered with this. I'm going to volunteer for this. I'm going to give more because that's how I show my love for God. Because I have a race to run or I have a race to walk. But it's something. And Jesus gives me that example in the book of John, the 4th chapter. He shows me how to go out of my way to do what he says. He gives me that example. And you know what? I don't think that I could ignore that any longer. Because it's right at my house. I know how people feel in Florida. I know how people feel in the Northwest. I know how people felt in Los Alamos. But I know that God is able. Because I'm standing here today. And that if I run my race, I'll win the prize. Can you all wait till I finish the finish line? Because I'm not fast. But I still will walk and go around. So what I do is I walk around this cul-de-sac. I pass my house one time. The second time is up for grabs. Y'all don't understand. You're too young to understand. I pass my house one time, and I'm looking at my steps to go down there, and if I keep on, I can get to that lazy boy, because I am a lazy boy. And I go, and I say, no, you can't do this. You have said that you were going to do it, and I walk my race, and by the time I get there the second time, I'm in a sweat. I'm thinking I'm not going to make it. Then I get in the house. I get another cup. And I'm kind of okay. And guess what? The next day, in fact, right after church, I'm going to do it because if I don't, I'll just go to that lazy boy. And I'm going to do it because that's my race. God has a race for you to run. And it includes you being part of this body of believers and giving what you can give all the time. It's a race. It's a race. So it's a constant thing. God, please help us to run our race in this place today. I look around in there. There's a house full of believers who know who Jesus is. Give us the strength and the courage to continue in what you started in our life and to know that in every season of our life, we have a race to run. Give us the ability to stretch and focus on the prize, the end, the finish line, and to look to Christ, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, and who is our strength in this life, in this race. There's so many things and so many needs in this house today, and so many things that we can do as a body of believers. God, give us the vision and the strength to do them, to reach out from these four walls and to bring people in by our relationships and our fellowships with them, and cause us not to be afraid of things that might cause us to be uncomfortable, but to trust you and to see you work. I've seen you work before, God. Do it again in this house. Bless our pastor, wherever he is, and Susan, wherever they are, and refresh them. Bless us as we leave this place today. We ask for your continued mercy on those who are in catastrophes, the fires, the floods, God. You are in control. We thank you for what you're going to do and how you're going to help rebuild. And we thank you for what we have and what we don't have. We ask you to bless us and cause this word to dwell in our heart so that we can be the men and women that you would have us to be as we leave this place and serve humanity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Go have a good day.